Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And we all know the glory that comes with being an Olympian, assuming you're not a Russian ice hockey player today. But it also carries a pretty hefty price tag. So how much money does it really cost to pursue your Olympic dream? For a look at the books, we turn to The Street's personal finance editor, Ross Kenneth Erkin. Ross, thanks for joining us today. Hi there.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks for having me.
And let's take as an example an American bobsledder. You profiled the finances of bobsledder Jamie Grubel. She just won a bronze in Sochi yesterday. Is bobsledding a full-time job that someone pays her to do leading up to the Olympics?
It's really quite the opposite. It's a full-time job and full-time commitment financially, but the compensation isn't quite that handsome. She gets a $1,000 stipend for making the U.S. team. She's housed up at Lake Placid, so she doesn't have to have a grocery bill or pay rent. But a lot of these bobsledders are paying out of pocket when it comes to the other expenses, like runners for the bottom of the sled, which can range from $6,000 to $10,000.
So in her case, if I heard you right, room and board plus $1,000, that's nothing.
It's a pittance, especially when you're talking about the winnings. For example, her bronze medal, it took so much to get to that point, tenths of a second, lots of weight training, lots of speed training, and that payout is $3,960. And this is a girl who had to pay her way to the Push Championships in Calgary, getting a hotel, getting a flight, getting gym time and ice time. So they're living a lot out of pocket in order to afford these dreams. To them, it's worth it. It's a priceless victory, but it doesn't come cheap.
Working day jobs primarily, or doing fundraising like a politician. Somebody tweeted at us that this is the only job they could think of like a politician, where you have to spend half your time doing a job and the other half raising money.
It's a little bit of both. You know, in the age of the internet, these athletes are able to leverage crowdfunding. Jamie Grubel herself used RallyMe, a site that, you know, she asked for $17,000, which is really the price tag of this season. She ended up getting $3,200, and that did go a long way in helping her afford some of the travel and gear, but it didn't cover by any means her costs. So she did work waitress jobs and wedding catered. And this is someone who herself is getting married to a German bobsledder this coming summer. So, you know, she's planning her own wedding, working other people's weddings to afford her athletic dreams.
You know what? It looks like we have a former Winter Olympics athlete on the line calling in. So let's talk to Peter in Manhattan. Peter, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Oh, yeah. Hi. Good morning. How are you?
Good. So you were in the Lake Placid Olympics way back in, 1980?
Actually, no. I was training in the 70s for luge, and I was in the U.S. and North American championships.
Uh-huh.
But when they asked me to train with the Olympic team back then, I couldn't afford it, and
So you would think that an institution as wealthy as the International Olympic Committee or the U.S. Olympic Committee would have the money to subsidize the Olympic the athletes who they actually want to be on the team. You're saying they invited you to be on the team because of your skills, but you couldn't afford the lifestyle.
Well, yeah, and, you know, you're not really put up in fancy hotels or anything. It's sometimes dormitories at colleges, or, you know, you just, you know, that kind of thing. So it's not a fancy lifestyle for the athletes, but I couldn't come up with the money. My family couldn't come up with it. And, you know, being from New York City, it's not like a small town would rally around me and do car washes and bake sales. I just had to, you know, not participate.
Peter, thank you. I'm sorry that worked out for you. Do you hear a lot of stories like that? Do you think, Ross, that there are a lot of Peters out there who could have been gold medalists but will never know?
Absolutely. I think you really have to make that sacrifice. It's not only the money you're shelling out and the lifestyle that you're leading to win a medal in the Olympics. You're giving up. It's opportunity cost. You're not climbing the corporate ladder. You're not progressing in a particular career. So I think that people underestimate the price of being an Olympian. And especially in some of these niche sports, you know, a case in point contrast with bobsledding is that the bobsledders themselves don't really get endorsement deals, but some of the track stars like Lolo Jones or Lauren Williams, who are also on the bobsled team, have have really thick pockets from endorsement deals with Saucony and Red Bull, et cetera. But that comes from their track days. So if you are going to do some of these tiny niche sports without a huge following in order to achieve glory, you have to be in it to win it. And I think that some people, because of personal finance reasons and prudence, decide to go against it. And it's certainly not not an irrational decision to do that.
So on the other side of the spectrum, we have people with big endorsement contracts. So, for example, one U.S. athlete is Michaela Schifrin, an 18-year-old skier who stands to make as much as $3 million, I've read, in long-term endorsements. She's been called the most marketable female star of the Olympics by Bloomberg News. So the Olympics bring a lot of amateur athletes into the spotlight. How does one manage to stand out to sponsors? Why Michaela and not somebody else?
It's a really difficult decision. And I think that one thing is clear. Brands want to associate themselves with performance, with achievement. And what better way to do that than attaching yourself to an Olympian? But in terms of who gets chosen and why, you know, it's more difficult. I think perhaps skiing is seen as a little bit more mainstream, a little bit more relatable. Bobsled still has the stigma to it. It's kind of a weird sled that's going down the track. It's a taxing sport. These athletes train like weightlifters and sprinters. It is by no means easy, and achievement in the sport is something that brands would want to associate themselves with. But I think that it's a safer decision to go a little bit more mainstream. And with Michaela herself, you know, it's a young, vibrant, charismatic athlete who also has this achievement in something that people can easily recognize.
And you have Lolo Jones and Lauren Williams, two sprinters turned bobsledders on the U.S. team this year, who were able to secure endorsements using their literal track records, pun intended. But what about the others? Do the athletes have agents pitching sponsors, you know, like, hey, this bobsledder, people may not know bobsledding, but this bobsledder may go great on a box of Rice Krispies, and here's why?
You know, I think that it isn't quite that organized. It's a little more grassroots. Like Peter was saying, who called in, these athletes are more scrounging up money from their hometowns or from local Lake Placid businesses. They're getting local couples, local families, the local plumber even or electrician to throw a couple bucks right their way, get it emblazoned on the sled.
And there we have to leave it with the Street's personal finance editor, Ross Kenneth Erkin. Ross, thanks a lot.
My pleasure, Brian.
Leonard Lopate Show coming up right after the news on WNYC, including Daniel Jones, the editor of the Modern Love column, The New York Times, on the 10 aspects of love that he's seen over and over in the 50,000 stories that have crossed his desk in the last 10 years. So Leonard Lopate after the news. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Talk to you tomorrow.